He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, July the 5th. It's the day after hangover, and the market is reeling here this morning. And, you know, last Friday, on very light volume, the market kind of rallied towards the end of the day. And my final message was the market's going to end up today. That was Friday. I said, but the volume is so light, it's hard to make much of it. The real market will return on Tuesday when we come back from vacation. And it's back. And it's back with a vengeance. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I've got Barry Kite here, chartered financial analyst. Hopefully we can guide you through a time like this. We've been warning that this was coming. We've been braced for this kind of thing for quite some time. And now here we are getting deeper and deeper into it. The Dow is down 621 points. That's exactly 2% right now. It is holding the level of 30,000, which I would think would kind of be a backstop, but whether it holds or not, that's questionable. 30,487 on the Dow right now. The S&P is down 2.2%. It's down 82 points, 3742. I'd have to look at my support levels that I mentioned in the newsletter on Friday. Those become very, very critical. The NASDAQ has actually improved just a little. It's down 186 right now, 10,941. The small caps are getting thumped. They're down 2.3%. I consider them to continue to be one of the most vulnerable areas in the market. If you're thinking inverse funds like we are, we already own several in that area. And even crude oil getting hit today, down $5.47. So welcome. Welcome to the Best Stocks Now show, the Best Inverse Funds Now show, with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Barry, I wasn't too excited when I saw the Friday rally that sent us into the three-day weekend. But the Dow was up 300 on Friday, but you really can't judge it when you have the volume that light. It doesn't take much buying to move it one way or another or selling. I think we're back to the real market here today, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and seasonally, I mean, this time of year is notoriously low volume, and then you throw in the, you know, three-day weekend with July 4th, and you're certainly, you know, looking at lower volumes. And today, I guess, you know, the surprising thing to me is when you look at the 10-year down all the way to 2.82%, down 11 basis points today, and you have the market going down, right? It's a, kind of a flight to safety trade, or, you know, just, I guess, that may potential expectations for more chance of a recession going forward. It's just an interesting dynamic compared to, you know, just where we were probably 2 months ago when, you know, yields went down, stocks went up, right? So.
Yes, and, you know, just to emphasize a little bit that flight to safety, I'm seeing the dollar, the U.S. dollar, just break out like crazy, UUP. The bond market's in rally mode as money flows into U.S. treasuries out of equities. And, you know, and, of course, the risk-on assets, you've now got Bitcoin below 19,000. We're going to continue to pick on the vulnerable areas of the market, just as we've been doing pretty much all year long. But, you know, there's really no safe place in equities anymore. I mean, even the energy stocks are now breaking support. Believe it or not, in the first half of 2022, the only sector that was up out of 13 sectors tracked by the S&P 500 was the energy sector. Of course, they don't consider inverse funds as a sector. I consider inverse funds as an asset class And I treat it accordingly in my Best Stocks Now app. And by the way, the number one asset class right now are inverse funds. SH was at the top of the heap. That's my representative inverse fund. There is absolutely no leadership whatsoever anywhere else in the market. Tech, forget about it. The financials, forget about it. Biotech, forget about it. Industrials, food, consumer. And now energy has joined that list. So we will just continue to pick on vulnerable areas of the market. It would seem that we've crossed the Rubicon of recession talk. And,
well,
you
look
know,
at the yield curve right now.
The yield curve is inverted.
It's crazy. I'm looking at numbers I've never seen before where 2 year is 2.81, 3 year is 2.81, the 5 year is 2.81. And so across those three, I mean, you're looking at pure flat.
It's,
and
yeah.
The 10 years at 2 point, you know, round up, we say 2.83. So there's only basically a two basis point difference between the 2 year, 3 year, and 5 year at the moment. And the 7 year is actually at 2.86. So
yeah,
you're getting more yield on a 7 year treasury than you are on a 10 year treasury at this point.
Yeah, and there was some kind of quiet news that I picked up today that the Atlanta Fed has further downgraded. They're now at negative 2.1% estimate for this year's or this quarter's GDP, which ended 5 days ago. So they are basically saying pretty emphatically with that estimate that we are already in recession, which they're joining us. We've been saying that for quite some time. The title of last week's, on Friday's newsletter, was Investing in a Recession. And you say, well, what kind of stocks do well in a recession? Consider that all 13 sectors in the market are now underwater. The last one standing is the energy sector. The only game in town, cash and inverse funds. And, you know, I am determined. I get excited when I see stocks breaking out and sectors breaking out on the upside to make money on the bull side, and there's money to be made. What's breaking out right now? The inverse funds. They're the ones with the relative strength of 99. Well, I don't care if it's small caps. I don't care if it's technology. I don't care if it's the oil stocks. I don't care if it's the emerging markets. There's opportunity all over the place in the market. And there's still people out there, oh, what a buying opportunity this is, you know, you got to go in. How can you pass up NVIDIA at this price? And on and on and on. But the sentiment is so sour right now. There's no bottom. We got to see a technical bottom in the market. And I've been saying in the newsletter every week, it's just not there yet. So here we are today, and we will continue to pick on vulnerable areas of the market, and we will continue to rid ourselves. I mean, we already own a lot of cash, a pile of cash, but, you know, the last man standing, the last stock standing, probably won't be standing for much longer in our portfolios here. Okay, well, the first half ended. It was actually the worst half in 52 years, okay? The only sector that was up, the energy sector was up 29% in the first quarter of 2022. That was pretty much the only sector we were heavily involved in at all. Utilities came in second, minus 2%. Consumer staples, minus 6.4%. Yes, I know you still have to shampoo your hair and brush your teeth and use deodorant and all this, even in a recession. But they're squeezed. Inflation is cutting their margins. Healthcare was down 9.1% in the first half of the year. The industrials were down 17%. Materials down 19%. Financials down 20%. Real estate down 21%. Information technology down 27%. That's pretty much the internet. Communication services down 31%. What came in last? Consumer discretionary. That's Target, Walmart, Amazon, Shopify. They're getting squeezed on their profit margins. It was down 33.1% in the first quarter or the first half of 2022. And yes, there's an inverse fund on almost every one of those sectors and areas of the market. What were the big winners in the first half? How about the Dow Jones Internet Bear ETF three times? That's Webbs, up 184%. How about the FANG and innovation stocks inverse three times, up 140%? How about the SPACs? We own this one, the SOGU. It was up 117% in the first half of this year. And on and on and on. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we have Dow down 607, oil down $4.91. Gold has just been getting clobbered. Silver has been getting clobbered. Why? The strength in the U.S. dollar. The NASDAQ has actually improved somewhat. It's only down 1% right now. It was down 2%, so there is a little buying going on in the NASDAQ right now, so there's at least a little bit of a green shoot there. And just like, you know, this is a buying opportunity in a lot of these inverse funds, that this rally just continues to extend further and further into almost all the inverse funds now. At some point, there will be a big turnaround rally, and we will hit a bottom at some point in time.
And that strong dollar is just a huge headwind for commodities. It's going to be a headwind for corporate profits, especially a majority of the companies nowadays earn a lot of their revenues overseas.
Yeah.
So when they're bringing those back, turning those euros or which is at a, I think the dollar is at a 20-year high against the euro at the moment, and so when you bring those profits overseas, you turn those euro whatever currency you have back into dollars, you get less dollars. So among everything else that companies are getting squeezed from a margin standpoint, they're going to have some currency translation risk and headwinds this quarter.
Yeah, I can't believe how strong the U.S. dollar is. But, it's relative. It's not that our balance sheet here in America and our debt load is not humongous. It's on a relative basis. We look better.
Best of the worst, right?
Of the worst. I mean, anyways, the least dirty shirt in the laundry. And there's this mad rush to the U.S. dollar, and like you say, it's impacting basic materials, it's impacting commodities, it's impacting companies that do business in foreign countries, and so it has a massive impact on the rest of the market. How's tech doing? Well, the first half of 2022, NVIDIA, for instance, was down 50%, and AMD also saw its shares fall 50%. And you could say, well, God, they got to be good buys at this level. But you've got to see those stocks start to bottom out. And you have to start to see the buying and confidence. It's going to take a while to restore this negative sentiment. What'll do it? Greed. Greed always does it. Greed is the panacea for negative sentiment. All of a sudden it turns and people say, God, you got to own it at this level. And you start to see that turn around. But that's not happening yet. Okay, the yield curve has inverted. Like you say, we've been predicting that that was going to happen. The euro, like you said, hit a 20-year low against the dollar as growth worries increase. And we've been saying that this is not only a recession here in the U.S., it's going to be a global recession. There's no question about it. And other areas around the globe are even more vulnerable than we are, because look at Europe, for instance, which has had their energy supply cut off dramatically. That's going to have a big impact going forward. They're still predicting that Europe will be out of gas by winter. All right, so it's got to be a...
Just in time for winter.
Yeah, there has to be a lot done by the blanket stock. There has to be a lot done between now and the next few months. Drastic things have to be done.
Time to thin out the Ardennes, I guess, right?
Yeah, this is crazy. Atlanta's Fed GDP model now dragged down further to 2.1% for Q2. That was a story I picked up. This actually came out on July the 1st, so that was on Friday at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. So it didn't get much press. It didn't get much attention. I mean, most people were on the airplane for their destination or in the car. Hauling the four-wheeler somewhere, when the Atlanta Fed announced that they've lowered their model for Q2, which is now over, okay, it's done, and we're going to know here fairly shortly whether it was a negative quarter or not. And it seems like the chances are way better than 50-50 that we're going to have a second negative quarter in a row. And that's what I said in my newsletter on Friday, and we've been saying it for quite some time, that the odds for a negative quarter are quite great. That means the odds for a recession, that we're already in one, is very likely.
And that trade, I mean, that trade deficit is going to, it's got to, I mean, you would think it has to widen because of the fact that, you know, U.S. currency is so high that, you know, it's a little cheap. We're actually importing some inflation or deflation because we're able to buy foreign goods cheaper because our dollar's going further. And then on the flip side, they're buying less of our goods because the dollar, you know, their currency isn't going as far. So
our goods are not competitive anymore on the U.S. markets, right? On the world markets, because they cost more in Europe and they cost more in other countries. The yen, the Japanese yen has been crushed this year. Absolutely crushed. So they're not going to be buying a whole lot of U.S. expensive U.S. goods either. So it's going to impact. And, you know, as of Friday, this quarter that's now ended and the earnings season will start next week, they're still looking for about 4% growth in earnings versus the same quarter last year. It's going to come in negative. I think it's going to be the first negative quarter since COVID that we've had. And I keep saying that the earnings estimates, the consensus for this year and the consensus for next year are still way too high, meaning that those target prices, I think as of Friday, the consensus target price for the S&P was 4,900. Well, we're way down at 4,200. The S&P is now at 3,800. So the street has got it wrong, and it may just be the law of averages. It takes a while for the average to come down. But, you know, most of the big firms out there that have updated their S&P 500 estimates, they're down there with us in the 4,200 area, or some even a little bit lower.
All right. Earnings growth of, you know, expected to be about 5%, strip out energy companies, and it's a negative 3%. So,
yeah,
you know,
and now the energy companies are, well, they've probably had a good quarter.
Right.
But all of a sudden, we're starting to see demand destruction. We're starting to see oil come down. I was in the capital city of South Carolina, Columbia, on Saturday. Their gasoline over there was $3.58. I don't know why Columbia is so much cheaper.
They're almost keep it close. Where you get politicians are there. They must be sitting on the pipeline.
They must be closer to the pipeline. You know, because right. That's what keeps energy prices low.
Yeah, that's true.
If you've got to get it out of the pipeline and then truck it to the destinations, that raises the price. Okay, when we come back, how low could this market go? How much is there that could possibly be made in these inverse funds that are just busting loose again today? We own about 12 or 13 right now. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Inverse Funds Now show, brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management. Well, hello. We're starting to see some really gloomy predictions, okay? Could stocks plunge 50% is the story today. That would take the Dow to 15,000. Well, it's already down 20, or about 20. I don't know if that means another 30 or 50 from here. I was just looking at a chart of the S&P 500. Let me pull that up here. I thought 3,300 was possible on the S&P 500, which means there's money to be made, obviously, in the inverse funds on the way down. We're not headed there yet, but I'm just saying that that's a possibility. And then there's going to be some buying opportunities down the road that you kind of have to be ready for. So, you know, I take it one stock at a time. I take it one day at a time. I take it one week at a time, one sector at a time. I make a lot of small decisions on a daily basis. That's what we will continue to do. This tariff talk, a lot of those Trump tariffs are still in place. Biden didn't remove them because he wanted to continue also to have leverage against China. But you do have a lot of crying out there to ease these tariffs on China because of the inflation problem. So the Chinese tariff relief appears to be back on the table at the White House as the Biden administration continues to confront red-hot inflation readings. The tariffs, they're basically being passed on to us. You know, I mean, we're still buying the goods. China's paying the tariffs, right? And the prices, and they're just raising the price on the goods that we're buying. So at the end of the day, you know, I mean, on the one hand, I think it's good to have leverage on China because they abuse the system like other countries do when they get a chance. But at the same time, it's also, for the most part, being passed on to the consumer. Boeing is blaming the U.S.-China trade war as Airbus scores $37 billion in deals. Okay, now, back in COVID, I remember calling the Boeing bottom. That was kind of the bottom of the market when Boeing bottomed there. I don't know that Boeing has bottomed yet.
It was right around $100, wasn't that?
Yeah, about $100.
Bottom price, if I remember right.
Yep, and I looked at other things. I mean, that wasn't the only factor that, you know, caused me to write that article about the bottom in the market back on March 17th, 2020. And I'm sure people will be watching us this time again to call some kind of a bottom in the market. I've said for the last several weeks that we're not there yet. And, Boeing, it's possible, but it hasn't, you know, you don't have a confirmed bottom there in Boeing yet. And so China's kind of, you know, we don't have a good relationship at all with China right now. Those deteriorating relations are causing, China to go to Airbus to order 37 aircraft. That's a big order that would have probably normally went to Boeing, but instead it went to Airbus. Now, if I'm seeing a bottom here, Airbus has a better-looking chart right now than Boeing does. Bezos spars with the White House. That's unusual. Now, he's the owner of the Washington Post over fuel economics and inflation. He's having a Twitter feud with the White House about how to handle soaring inflation. He criticized the Biden administration for the rising price pressure back in May, saying the failed Build Back Better bill and proposed $3.5 trillion to federal spending would have only exacerbated the current inflationary environment. He also has taken issue with claims that wealthy companies do not pay enough in tax. and is likely upset at Biden's support for an organized labor movement given the recent unionization efforts at Amazon that have been building since they took office. Well, they love to pick on Amazon during the campaign, Bernie Sanders especially. You know, Amazon, they made a big deal of how they paid no taxes. And, well, you know, we have tax laws, okay? You got to change the tax laws if you're going to, you know, be mad at a company for just using the tax laws. You know, they want to make the minimum tax possibly on the corporate America of 10%, whether you, you know, have write-offs or depreciation or whatever it is or not. He's also upset about gasoline prices, Bezos says. See a lot of Amazon trucks running around town. And they're not electric, that's for sure. Now it's the real estate sector. This comes as no surprise. The real estate sector was down 21% in first half of 2022. And there's this thought out there that these real estate investment trusts are immune to the economy, that they go up no matter what. You get your check no matter what in the mail twice a year. Some of them pay quarterly. Realty Income pays a monthly check to folks that own their stock, symbol O. Okay, so let's just look at the symbol O for a minute here. It's held up pretty good. I mean, it could be worse. It was 86, and now it's at 69, 17. That's about down, 20, 21, 22% from its high. The dividend yield is 4.2% right now, where Realty Income sits. But then you take a look at their tenants. A lot of these REITs have tenants that are in trouble. You know, not that Target's going to go out of business, but think of the office building REITs, where people aren't returning to the office, and think of a lot of the smaller retail regional shopping centers where you're starting to see businesses fold up because of the cost of fuel and inflation, etc. So anyways, the real estate slumps 21% in the first half of this year. That's that sector. And mortgage rates expected to be they're at 5.7 right now on the 30-year. And, you know, you talk to a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of people that got in at right around 3 or under, Barry. You know, you go up to 5.7, that adds a lot of money to a mortgage payment. So, you know, that's another factor. And, of course, hiking interest rates are designed to do that. And one of the hottest sectors in the market, without question, was the real estate sector as housing prices soared. Bidding for those homes soared. Inventory dwindled. You didn't have much supply, so you had that huge, massive increase in housing prices. And now homes are sitting out there on the market, and sellers are actually having to lower the price. Billionaire yep. Buffett buys another 10 million shares of Occidental Petroleum.
He's all over that thing, isn't he?
Man. He, the stock is down 4.2% today. The oil stocks are not immune anymore from these sell-offs in the market because they're tied to the economy. Oil and energy and copper and basic materials, they do not do well during a recession because the demand for those products goes down. But he continues to buy Occidental Petroleum.
He's using that as a hedge in some sort of way where, you know, obviously he's in Boyd, which is, an EV maker, they provide parts and make vehicles in China. I mean, it's just interesting that he's, certain things in terms of sustainability, right, or greenish energy, right? But then on the other side, right, can't buy enough, Occidental Petroleum.
Yeah, I just think he's like us. I mean, the reality is, I saw the airport yesterday, how busy it was, all the planes coming in and landing and taking off, and all the boats on the harbor yesterday and the freighters coming in, and there's just so much of the economy that's still going to require those fossil fuels, and they continue to make it tougher and harder. And I'm seeing strikes now. There seem to be a lot of strikes going on at these oil companies right now, so their labor costs are going up. And it just seems like these oil companies are going to continue to make money for years and years to come, despite the war against fossil fuels. Okay, we'll be right back. What's jumping off the page? I got to believe there's going to be a few inverse funds in that list. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, there is a little bit of a green shoot there. The Dow is only down 84 points right now. That's 0.75%, or the NASDAQ, rather, while the S&P is down double that. So there's some buying taking place in the NASDAQ. I would expect at some point the NASDAQ would be the first one to rally to bottom and start to turn upwards, because it was the first one to go quite some time ago.
Yeah, and went the farthest. Yeah.
Yeah, and it went the furthest. Okay, so.
And I do have one positive piece of news real quick before we get into some of the inverse funds. Factory orders were up. It doesn't mean they were filled, but factory orders were up 1.6% in May.
Hallelujah.
Above expectation. I think the consensus was around a 0.5% or 0.6%. So on a good note, we had more factory orders than we thought. Like I said, doesn't mean those factory orders are going to get filled, but they did get some orders in.
Okay,
so
that's all right.
There.
So it's not
that's
like
all I got.
Okay, that's better than nothing. All right, now. Okay, so I have 102 B-plus or better ranked stocks in my database right now. That's a very low number. I normally average about, 500-600. We're down to 102. But there are some there. I have to bring to your attention some kind of out-there innovation stocks that are starting to level off and actually kick up a little bit. Roblox, RBLX. Which is the three-dimensional game stock. It's built a nice bottom, and it's starting to break out to the upside just a little bit. Okay, there's one. Roblox in the app is ranked, let's see where it's ranked. It's got to be in the top 100 or so. Roblox is currently ranked at 58. Out of 6,100, believe it or not. Datadog, which I want to say got put into the S&P 500. That's a good chart. What can I say?
We've held that one before. But
we've owned it before. It's a cloud stock. It's a service, software as a service stock. It's breaking out today on double normal volume. So somebody's in there buying it today. That's number two. Number three, CrowdStrike, which is my favorite. Now, we don't own any of these. Number three is CrowdStrike, which is one of my favorite cyber security stocks in that space. It's up on big volume today, almost three times normal volume. The stock is up 3.62%. Not only has it built a bottom, but it's tilting to the upside now. I would call that an ascending triangle. And now it's attempting, it's breaking out to the upside today. So there's another little green shoot. And then one other one would be, I'm going to give you three more. Okta. Okta is O-A-O-K-T-A. And it looks okay. That one has built a bottom. I'd want to see the big horsemen of the NASDAQ do this, the Microsofts, the AMDs, the Googles, the apples. We haven't seen that yet, but some of these second-tier stocks, Okta, definitely worthy of mention, OKTA. Two more, Team, TEAM, is sideways, tilting upwards, breaking out to the upside. Not quite the volume. And then the last one would be Palantir, which is one of those innovation-type stocks, a privacy stock, a cloud stock. Same exact chart, tilting upward slightly and a little breakout to the upside today with PLTR Palantir. Now, on the inverse funds side of the equation, the financials getting crushed. And the financial inverse ETFs, there's a few. FAZ, F-A-Z, is one. It's up 7.4% today on pretty good volume.
And that's one we own.
We own some FAZ. And then that's 3-to-1. The 2-to-1 version of FAZ is SKF. It's up 4.4% today. Those are good charts, by the way. They're all in good, strong uptrends. And in this market, they get big relative strength numbers. Relative strength on SKF is 97. Relative strength on FAS is 98. And then I just think Europe is extremely vulnerable. And we have a very fairly large position inverse Europe 2 times. Look at that breakout today on EPV, Echo Paul Victory, EPV. Look at the breakout in that stock today. It's up 8.1%, 4 times normal volume. So there's not a lot of confidence out there in Europe. There's not a lot of confidence in the financial sector. There's not a lot of confidence in the basic material sector. Look at SMN today, which is twice inverse the basic materials index. It's up 6.9% on almost 3 times normal volume. Well, I'd be interested to hear your story of what your broker's been doing, what your money manager's been doing, what your financial planner's been doing, what your financial planner's been telling you. I talked to someone here in the last couple weeks who has a broker from another firm, nationwide firm. She says, man, she says, they're awful. Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe she just, that's just her, that's what she told me. And I don't know what they're doing, if anything. I really don't know. I'm so focused here on my little, neck of the woods and my business and the stocks we own, the stocks we don't own, the inverse funds we own. I probably own more inverse funds right now than I've ever owned during my entire career. We own 12 or 13 total spread out amongst the different portfolios, and there's a few more popping up here on the screens here today. All right, well, get last week's newsletter. It was very important. A lot of good updates there, GundersonCapital.com. If your broker or planner is doing nothing, give us a call. We're doing a lot. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.